Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. New year, new episode. And we're playing catch up a little bit because we had a lot going on with the new year, so we didn't get to talk Spider-Man. So this is our Spider-Man Far From Home episode. Next week will be our year-end review, kind of, and what we liked, and what we're looking forward to for 2022. But to kick us off, as always, we got our news, starting with DC, which is stands for Dead Comic Industry.
That's a good joke, Will. That was funny.
So, Michael Keaton is returning as Batman and Batgirl.
Oh, we're just going straight for it. We're going to talk about this.
And the current rumor right now is the future of DC films
is in the toilet.
Yep.
Is in the toilet.
So Black Adam exists.
Well, supposedly retcon the existence of Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, and Justice League. Basically anything to do with Zack Snyder.
I mean, Batman vs. Superman was bad, so I'm not too beat up about that one or the other.
No, it's not.
Michael Keaton's Batman handing over the reins to Leslie Grace's Batgirl, and Supergirl will be taking over for Henry Cavill's Superman.
Okay,
Cavill and Ben Affleck will not be coming back as Supergirl, Batgirl, and Wonder Woman form the new Trinity.
Okay, there's a lot. We have been debating about this for a while in our group chat, so we need to unpack this because we are very passionate about this topic.
Yes.
I want to start with Asher because he hasn't talked much yet so far, so I want to get his opinion. Asher, what's your thoughts about getting rid of Henry Cavill, Superman, and Ben Affleck, and Batman altogether?
No, dude. Don't do that.
Henry Cavill demanded too much for the character, and my guess is he just wanted a comic-accurate Superman. Because he's that guy. And Ben Affleck, his experience was ruined by Joss Whedon.
And Warner Bros. Didn't like that.
He was like, hear me out here. What if Superman smiled more? And they said, get out.
What if his suit was, like, brighter?
Yeah, they were like,
get out.
He was like, what if he saved people?
Get out. Go home.
He read the script and he's like, why am I snapping Martha's neck this time?
Yeah. but... I don't know. I mean, I'm really happy that we're getting a live-action Supergirl. That's great. I mean, we've had the TV show. Okay, but like...
She's not blind, so it kind of sucks.
Right. I'd prefer it to be Kara Zor-El. It's not Kara Zor-El.
Who is this one?
Will, who is it?
It is Kara Zor-El with the look of Sur-El, which is one of Superman's daughters in an alternate universe.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I'm okay. Like, I want a DC... like big screen universe with Supergirl in it with Superman standing next to her.
And with,
you can't tell me there's not an agenda here.
It's like at least the rest of the Justice League.
Yeah. You can't really have Supergirl without Superman. You can't have Batgirl without Batman. So I don't know why they're doing this.
Well, like we said, Michael Keaton's replacing Ben Affleck and will be handing over the reins,
which is a dumb idea.
I don't like Batman very well, but I actually did like Ben Affleck's Batman other than the mowing people down part.
Yeah, it was a good performance.
He basically did that scene like I play Arkham Knight.
Yeah.
You can't kill people in Arkham Knight because you're shooting, and then your gun switches over to taser bullets every time you get close to someone.
Yeah, and then when you hit somebody going like 50 miles an hour, just tases them off the hood of the car.
Bounce like it was like a little like pillow that hit him.
And then they're perfect.
It's okay. You don't see it, but off screen, the Batmobile shoots a little mattress out where they land. So yeah, they're fine.
They're
not snapping their necks against concrete.
My favorite is when you hit one, but you miss the other, so you hop out of the Batmobile and jump out and just slam on this other dude.
Yeah. We're getting off topic, but it's a good game and people give it too much crap.
True. I also want to point out, there's a trend I noticed, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Supergirl is Brazilian. Batgirl is Mexican, and we have an Israeli Wonder Woman.
Oh, I forgot we,
Women of color.
No, wait.
Are the new Trinity.
Supergirl
is what? Not that that's a bad thing, it's just not good for this specific thing.
I'm sorry. Supergirl is what?
Brazilian.
The actress that plays her is Brazilian?
Yeah.
That's hot.
I didn't know that. And Batman is white.
Batman is white.
But supposedly the new Justice League will be those three with Flash and Shazam.
All I'm saying is the one person you should recast is Ezra Miller. That's all I said. Anyway, Flash. Let's move on. Yes.
For real!
They're replacing everybody else but keeping Ezra Miller as the Flash? Like, bro.
We're going to move on to the next topic.
The only bad one.
Because we can talk about that for hours. We're going to move on.
Nobody likes you. Why are you here? So then for Marvel news, Morbius now delayed more than New Mutants.
Oh, not Morbius. We were looking forward to that movie so much.
It got delayed from January 28th to April 1st, so Spider-Man No Way Home can ride out its hype, and Morbius does not have to compete with it.
Good.
Well, I mean, like, by then, the movie would have been out for almost a month.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think I heard there also, there's some reports or rumors that they're pushing, they're delaying it so they can add in some new scenes with our boy Andy G.
I did hear that. That I heard after. I'd like that. Yeah.
I would not mind that one bit. Well, just a little like in and out, like, hey, I'm here, and then leave.
Yeah. All right. So then, X-Men 97 begins production. They showed a picture of Cal Dodds in the studio, who's the voice of Wolverine, and I couldn't be more hyped.
I know you almost cried yourself when you, or you did cry pretty loud, I think, when X-Men
was out. That was a private moment, Harrison.
I'm sorry. No, this is a safe space that we can talk about these nerd things that we cry about on the show.
Yeah, no, it's not. That's pretty lame.
Will, you're lame.
Yeah.
You're such a loser, bro.
Too far.
No, let's get back to our nerd podcast. Anyway.
And then Echo, the show that is spinning off from Hawkeye. Just got the writers from Daredevil and Punisher.
Good choice.
That's good. Good.
We have something to say about the character of Daredevil in this episode.
What are we saying about Daredevil?
I don't know. Maybe you'll just have to watch the whole episode to hear us talk about it.
Ah, I see you. Okay.
Lawyer. So finally, for film and TV news, Scott Pilgrim anime in the works at Netflix with the series creator Brian Lee O'Malley.
Interesting. I didn't even know.
Listen,
that.
The movie is close to perfect as you can get, so I don't need anything else.
Exactly.
True. Okay. And now here's the sad part. Betty White died at 99 years old.
Oh, she was so close.
So close.
So close. Heart. She almost hit that new high score. 2020 had something. 2021 had something to say about it.
Sidney Poitier, the first black man to win an Oscar, died at 94.
Oh.
And we just found out an hour ago. Bob Saget, Danny Tanner from Full House, died at 65.
And the voice in How I Met Your Mother.
Nobody cares.
God.
Wait. He died? He's not that old.
Danny Tanner died at 65.
Mr. Tanner's not that old.
Nah.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Comes in threes, they say.
Oh, it does. Dude, you know what? Never mind. I'll tell you guys off camera.
Okay.
I'm kind of scared now. But,
you know what? It's just something about my job.
Okay.
Oh, no. You work in a nursing home.
Well, you said comes in threes. That's the saying at our nursing. See, I'm saying what I said I was going to say off recording.
Okay. Well, yeah, we can move on.
So, spoiler warning ahead, because we are going straight into Spider-Man No Way Home.
News? That was all the news? We've literally been off for a month.
And I did this week.
Wait, I just thought of something. The Thor's love and... Thor's love and...
Not yet, because it's not an official look.
Field, and I think it's beautiful.
We don't talk about it until they release the official look.
Come on, there's been leaks. They look amazing.
We don't focus.
People
on
think there's too much yellow, but I think it's perfect.
And I agree with Astor. I also think it's perfect.
We love color in comic book costumes.
Exactly.
Yeah. What are your opinions on it, Harry? I haven't heard much of yours.
With the colors.
Can we talk about one thing though?
What?
We might talk about it in the movie itself, because spoiler, it's kind of a post-credit scene, but we did get a trailer for Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, it was officially released, so...
Well, no, it was a lot less than what they showed at the end credits.
Are you sure?
It was nothing more than a teaser. They didn't release what was at the end credits.
What was at the end credits?
Right on. Dude, they didn't even show Gargantua in that trailer.
Yeah, they did.
Not like they did in this trailer. And they didn't have this scene with America Chavez and Rachel McAdams' character looking through the door like they're supposed to.
So do we talk about the trailer? Because it's kind of its own thing. We could talk about it with Spider-Man because it's post-credit scene, or we could just talk about it as its own thing.
I mean, we can just talk about it right now. It got released.
Evil Doctor Strange from What If.
He's in there, yeah. Have you seen the leaks of Defender Strange?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. Oh, cool. Yeah, I did. I like that outfit. I dig quite a bit.
I know.
And Baron's Reno.
Yeah. What's up with the what's up with his hair in that one?
I don't know.
It's like a, his, the white
thing.
Benedict Cumberbatch. The
white things, they went up a little bit. I don't think hair does that.
Benedict Cumberbatch wears wigs every time he plays Doctor Strange.
He does?
What was that? That's Benedict Cumberbatch wears a wig every time he plays Doctor Strange. That's never his real hair.
I didn't know. Yeah, I know. I mean, I wasn't really going on about... It's supposed to be his natural hair in the movie, though.
Yeah.
And for some reason, the white parts, the white highlights are like in a different spot than what they normally are with people.
Because that's where this specific Strange's universe, that's what he had.
Yeah, I know.
Defender Strange is not our Strange.
Yeah, I know it's not.
I do like that Baron Mordo's got something going on with the hair. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, his dreads are looking sick.
Bro, where you been this whole time? I've been wearing my dress. How about you? You think I was doing something nefarious or something? My bad.
Like that hat after that?
There's going to be some noise in here because RJ's moving in.
Oh, yeah, my bad.
Okay.
So, we had him approach Wanda once again. I'm not here to talk about your bullcrap. I mean, okay, but someone has to. Wanda's ready to get cuffed up.
Yeah, I'm surprised no one's come for her yet. I'm just, like, after imprisoning an entire town.
I'm just trying to remember it right now. That's what I'm zoning out and doing. The trailer? I'm trying to remember it. We see, what's his name? The alien that's the Sorcerer Supreme. Shuma-Gorath.
It wasn't Shuma-Gorath, sadly. It's a guy named Gargantua, which they made look exactly like Shuma-Gorath.
So it's another green thing with tentacles and one eye?
Basically, yes.
Harry is bread and butter.
You know.
More worried about the one eye than I am the tentacles.
I have a thing for Mike Wazowski.
Yeah, what can you say?
Oh my god, it's Mike Wazowski and What's-Her-Face Celia's kid, Gargantua.
Oh my gosh, it is. Except it doesn't have little snake arms.
No, like, it's got the tentacles she has. Yeah,
like you said.
Hair,
like,
but not some arms.
Oh, yeah.
We saw America Chavez, which is the new character they're introducing.
Yeah, how is she relevant to the plot again?
She can jump through dimensions and, like, she can teleport through, like, different, like, universes.
Well, that's pretty
She's up. Once again one of those dumb characters that they feel the need to introduce. Like Ironheart and Ms. Marvel?
Yeah, okay.
America Chavez is like her own thing, though, unlike Ironheart, who's just maybe Iron Man.
America Chavez is kind of like Captain America. Like
she's called Miss America. She's
her hero is Captain
supposed
America.
To be the new Cap.
She's like her own that's and everything, true. And like she's her own person, that's at true. Least.
Or no, they took over for Patriot, Eli Bradley. She's not her own thing.
That's knockoff Captain America.
Who we got introduced to in Falcon Winter Soldier. Off topic.
Alright.
Is that everything
we can about the trailer? It's like,
yeah.
It was just a cool little look at what we're going to get in the movie.
I mean, I have heard, and we all have heard, that they're doing extensive reshoots recently.
Probably adding stuff.
Right, probably adding the cameos.
Like Norman Reedus.
Like
playing
Ghost Rider. Ghost Rider.
God, I hope not.
You do not want Norman Reedus to play Ghost Rider.
I don't. He's too old. Get someone younger.
Bring back Nicolas Cage.
Norman Reedus can't.
I say bring back Nicolas Cage. Just keep
Please no.
Exactly. Harry's on to something
actor.
Right here.
I would like a semi-decent actor, please.
Can we get Jack Black as Ghost Rider?
Please.
Am I the only one wanting this? Or?
Yes.
I don't know. I think that'd be pretty good.
No.
What?
Hey, Asher, I think Kevin Hart should play Grifter.
I would be down, honestly. I feel like he'd do great.
EDP 445 is Grifter.
Why not Kim K?
What?
Yeah, I think that'd be a good one.
Kim K. All right. So spoiler warning.
Pete Davidson is Grifter.
Pete.
No, Pete Davidson.
A long time want to see it.
Pete Davidson is too busy with Kim Kardashian.
That's right. That's right.
I think Pete Davidson is just Steve Buscemi reincarnated, and I can't get it out of my head.
Yeah, no, I can see that. If Steve Buscemi looked even sicker.
Alright, so spoilers ahead for Spider-Man.
Are we ready for Spider-Man?
Who are we casting Steve Buscemi as?
Pete Davidson.
We're casting him as Pete Davidson?
Yeah. Chad.
He's reincarnated Steve Buscemi.
Oh. I thought you just said we should cast Steve Buscemi as T'Challa.
don't mention like how he looks and acts completely different and isn't anymore.
That's what it is, Steve Buscemi.
Stares at M'Baku. Do you too think God fears what he created so he stays up in heaven?
No, it's like that how do you do with Pelicans, but it's him with all the Wakandans.
Imagine him wearing the Black Panther suit, how weird he looks.
How do you do, fellow Wakandans?
Okay. Big movie.
Wakanda forever, am I right?
Let's talk about it. The highest grossing movie of 2021, one of the highest grossing opening weekends of all time.
Now one of the highest grossing MCU movies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Number 8 on the entire movie's billboard.
There you go.
Was 5? I thought
it was 8. Was 5.
Oh, my God.
Kind of a pandemic still, kind of.
Not really.
Well, I mean, it's kind of coming back.
Yeah, but who cares?
No one cares. Anyway. Everyone's over it. No one gives a crap.
I'm not saying who cares or not. I'm just saying that in the facts that it's kind of coming back.
Oh, yeah.
So, the movie starts with literally picks right up where Far From Home left off with Peter Parker dealing with the consequences of Quentin Beck revealing his identity as Spider-Man. So paparazzi, people thinking he's a criminal who killed Quentin, if that's his real name, it bugs me.
Yeah, see, my question is, because in the first part, like, here's the thing, we gotta know, they kind of do a montage of everything going on, and then we get our boy Matt Murdock returning as the
Daredevil. You are ahead of yourself.
Of the MCU.
You are way ahead.
There's not a lot to talk about
yes,
part.
There is. We're
talking about spoilers. This is a spoiler section.
We did.
So prior to that, we got the great scene of MJ and Peter going to the apartment, and Aunt May thinking they're about to do it, while also dealing with a breakup with Happy, which had me dead. Because you see Happy hiding behind that door like, Peter can't see me. And, what's up with you, bro? Breaking up with me, and it peeks back behind the door. That set me. But that's when they get arrested first. And we learn MJ's last name is really Watson, but she doesn't like it, and she goes by Jones.
Yeah.
That's a big part, too.
It was like Michelle Jones Watson. Or Watson Jones or something.
Jones Watson.
Jones is her middle name, right?
No, it was supposed to be her last name, but we learn it's hyphenated Jones Watson.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, it's cool reference, but yeah, I agree. She shouldn't be Watson. She should be her own character.
She,
that's
she,
not what we're going to talk about.
Then Mary Jane, she should just be her own character.
I agree. Thank you. It's not Mary Jane in the slightest.
No.
Mm-hmm. So even throw the Watson thing in there felt useless and dumb just to prove a point that this is our Mary Jane, our MJ.
Like you said, our main cast of characters get arrested by the damage control. Did they get arrested? I think it was
damage control.
It was damage control.
And looks curtains for them until they get a really good lawyer.
Poor Ned, that scene. Ned was tripped out.
See, that was, I guess I was just kind of skipping my question there about how is Matt, like, okay, we understand he's a really good lawyer, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of the main takeaway from the film, but how is he able to clear his name that quickly?
I'm maybe a few days passed. I mean, it literally, I think the cut itself was weird. Like, there wasn't a build up to it. It literally just cuts and there's Matt Murdock.
Yeah. And it was just like, hey, so basically you're fine. It's just everyone still thinks you're trash.
Yeah. Besides Happy, he's still in trouble.
Oh, yeah. Happy was still in trouble.
Yeah. And then that brick gets thrown through the window and he does his whole, catches it like a, amazing man he is that's blind. And I really hope we get a Spider-Man and Daredevil team up at some point.
Oh, for sure. I don't know if I want to see any more Spider-Man team ups for the next
movie. Don't put it in the movie, though. If they're talking about reviving Daredevil like they are as a series, pop Spidey in that.
Pop him in that. That'd be good.
Maybe they fight Kingpin.
Taking out Kingpin?
Oh, man. Could you imagine Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin with Tom Holland's Spider-Man just facing off?
Oh.
Be so good.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would be
the fight choreography we got this.
In his college, Peter?
Yeah. Peter would be happy. Since Peter lives in Queens, he's a Mets fan, so Kingpin would see that. And he would be like, it's the Mets, baby.
That's how they like clear up the differences. Like, it's all about the Mets, baby. Come on.
It's all about the Mets.
Bro, now Peter's going to be the idiot. It's like, I like the Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
No, he had a
Mets. Yeah, so we've got Matt Murdock.
What was that, Gilly?
Didn't he have a Mets hat on, like, his desk or something?
Yeah, Peter. Yeah, because Peter lives in Queens. And that's where the Mets play, so we know he's a Mets fan. It's established. It's canon. It's whatever. It's amazing.
Peter's a Mets fan.
Spectacular.
Go Red Sox!
Moving on to other important details about the movie.
They end up being relocated into Happy's house.
Happy's apartment.
Yeah, have you seen that?
His penthouse.
Yeah, Happy's his spiritual oasis.
His bachelor pad.
All of those locks.
Yeah, have you seen the the concept art of the spiritual oasis?
No.
Dude, it is wild. Like, if you see it from the outside, like, holy crap, it does not look like it's in New York.
Oh.
It looks pretty awesome. And then in the comic, they have Peter hanging from a web hammock or something, and that is pretty cool. And then Happy was sitting there in gym shorts. Kind of looked like the Ned meme.
The Lego Death Star gets ruined again.
It's at least the second time. Ned dropped it.
Yeah.
And then arm smacked.
But like you said, or I guess we should say, feeding into that, this whole next part is about them trying to get into MIT, which is the three main characters, Ned, MJ, and Peter's dream schools. But things are complicated because they kind of got accused of things recently, so they're not getting accepted to anything.
Well, not because they got accused, but because they have ties to Peter Parker, who's accused.
Right. Also, he goes back to high school for senior year, and that's, interesting because, everyone knows who he is, and, the teachers know who he is, and that's a funny scene.
Oh, yeah. That line killed me.
His gym teachers.
Betty saying, go get him, Tiger.
Yeah. Climb.
He killed me on the inside a little bit.
You can walk the halls. You can swing. We know you can do it.
You're a murderer. Stop.
Dude, Animal Burst never fails to be amazing in any scene he's in.
Freaking Animal
Burst. Yeah, but he's, a hardened criminal. Nah, he's a hero. He's a murderer.
Know what you did. Stop.
All right, have fun throughout the school day and don't kill us.
And so they open up the final letter they get is from their dream school, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, and none of them get in.
Go Mitts.
But Flash gets in.
Okay. Blonde Flash.
Blonde, you're right. Blonde Flash. They wanted to.
I want to go back a little.
What?
Just to talk about the fact that Happy wears a CPAP. Like our mother does. But not only that, what do you want to bet Jon Favreau has to? And they incorporated it into Happy's character. Because that is not one of those things where you're just like, guys, should we get a CPAP for this scene? Nah, man, you know this. Jon Favreau has to use one.
They actually shot that when Jon Favreau was trying to just sleep. And then they're like, hey, yo, guys, this is perfect. What's up? Get the camera rolled.
I don't know why, but Jon Favreau, Happy Hogan in this movie reminded me of my dad a lot.
I can see it.
I don't know why. Maybe it was all the locks on the door and the security cameras asking who's coming over. And maybe it was just, I don't know, it's just how he acted. I was like, that's kind of my dad.
Or when he's trying to FaceTime MJ on the phone and Happy interferes and tells him to shut up.
Yeah, you're not
afraid. I don't see it. He didn't ask for napkins enough.
He did not ask for napkins enough, but, you know, I'm sure he's a Mets fan, too, because New York.
Oh, well, definitely.
So, but yes, they do not get accepted into the college they want. And then Peter, I know I'm skipping around, but there's a lot we got to cover because this is still the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, and this first 20 minutes isn't that important. Yeah.
But then he goes to Dr. Strange and Wong.
To convince him to make everyone forget, which we've all seen in the trailer.
We also learned that Wong is the new Sorcerer Supreme now.
Yes, because Doctor Strange was gone for 5 years.
Which means that Wong was Sorcerer Supreme and he was cage fighting in Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
Or Shang-Chi, true. I guess.
Man had some big responsibilities and he said, I'm going to go magic UFC real quick.
Scooby-Doo this stuff. Look, you know what? They changed it to S-H-I-T, which I don't know if we're allowed to say on this show, but they say it. And he screws up the spell like he does in the trailer we see.
Then he kept adding stipulations like Henry Cavill to Superman.
Keeps butting in, which is very similar to the Happy Birthday story from the comics.
One More Day?
Yeah.
Is it One More Day? I thought One More Day is when he makes a deal with the devil, but Happy Birthday is when he messes Doc Strange's spell. So I think that part is like Happy Birthday. But anyway. Dr. Strange is like, you idiot, you should have just went and plead your case to the MIT advisor. So he does that. The highway scene we get the return of
Doc Ock.
Real quick, can we just talk about how much of a dad Dr. Strange felt like punishing his kid?
I mean, yeah.
What, did you go talk?
No, I felt like I was watching. Don't say that. Don't.
I know. No. But I really felt like I was watching with my dad. Mr. Did you at least try and plead your case to MIT?
That was one thing I did very well is they didn't make it feel like a father-son relationship again. It felt like an older coworker and a newer starting coworker.
Don't call
me. I felt like I was watching my dad yell at Asher.
No,
did you at least try and plead your case? Means, you can do that?
Like, that one scene, yeah, but, like, they definitely
were... No, just that their, scene, not the whole like, relationship. Co-workers.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, no, I'm talking friends. Just that specific scene.
But, yeah.
No, this one was just Doctor Strange being done with Peter's crap. Like, dude.
We get the high...
That's weird, I know.
We get the return of Alfred Molina. Great. Just to... I don't want to, like, spend too much time talking about every villain, but just, like, straight, like, Spider-Man 2 just ended. Alfred Molina didn't miss a beat.
Yeah.
Bro, from the arms coming up from underground, Tremor style.
Yeah. The arms look cool. Great. I know they were CG, but, like, the action scene with it, the short, like, five-minute action scene we got, great.
And then the nanotech armor taking over the arms?
Yeah.
That was cool.
It was cool.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay, do we think that... I thought that after the nanotech, it was cool that, you know, it was the technology, him being a little too greedy for technology that ended up making him lose the fight. That was interesting, but I don't know. I feel like after that point, he was not a good villain, and you're just kind of waiting for him to go good again.
He wasn't supposed to be.
He jumped from Alfred Molina Doc Ock from Sam Raimi's movies, then that moment that happened, he was MCU Doc Ock.
Yeah, because then he was treated like a joke, basically, for the remainder of that scene. Like when
I didn't like that they left out his name being Otto. It made no sense.
It was especially it was also too much when that lady started like hitting him with the purse or something. Like,
yeah, like what was that?
I don't know. Yeah, that I agree with you. And not even that scene, but I would say a good amount was like pretty dumb, jokey. Like when he was trapped in the prison, some of that.
Well,
stuff.
I thought he had some good lines in the prison, like when he was talking about Norman Osborn and everything. Like those were good lines.
I can help you. I'm something of a scientist myself.
No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about when he was talking about Osborn.
I like that scene he had with a certain someone on the Statue of Liberty at the end that we'll get to.
Yeah, but like when he was sitting there, he's like kind of calling us like you're going to chase a ghost. Like when he said that, it was almost like the way Molina delivered that line was really good.
Type of thing.
Yeah,
I like when he lashed out and got really angry. But yeah, if you want to talk about something of a scientist myself, after he takes down Doc Ock, we get our second villain who shows up.
Norman Osborn's Green Goblin, or Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin.
Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin. Talk about not skipping
Norman
a beat.
Norman Osborn's Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe's Norman Osborn.
Willem Osborn's Norman Dafoe.
Willem the Goat.
Yes.
But then... Peter gets, before he can fight Willem the Goat, he gets transported to the, what's that basement called?
The Sanctum Basement.
The Sanctum Basement. The Crypt. Yes. The Crypt.
The Crypt.
And Dr. Strange is like, you idiot, you messed up the spell, and now everyone that knows who Spider-Man is, Peter Parker, from other universes is coming through. He already trapped the Lizard, which apparently was a deleted scene, where like Dr. Strange runs into Lizard in the sewers, which we were going to get, but they cut out.
What's Doctor Strange doing in the sewers?
That's good. He followed a trail, I guess. I don't know. I think he said that. Okay. We get Risa Fons back as the Lizard, but not... I mean, like, yeah, we do, but, like, not
did
really...
Did he just do the voice?
He just did the... Well, of course he just did the voice, but, like, he didn't really do much.
Well, another villain. Sandman also returned.
We did get Thomas David Church. He did the voice. Both him and Risa Fons did the voice, but...
Couldn't they not, because of... COVID or something.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But so, a lot of exposition we get in this scene from the villains, because now he's got two trapped. He's got Doc Ock and Lizard, and then he has to
see what he's talking about. Green Goblin?
They're talking about Green Goblin, yeah. And that's when Doc Ock says they're all destined to die fighting Spider-Man. And so, Doc Strange, there's too many doctors in this. Doc Strange is like, figure this out yourself. So he invites Ned and MJ over. They turn the suit inside out. That's a cool scene where they have, like, the phone on his chest. I like that quite a bit.
The dubstep when Electro showed up.
The dubstep when Electro showed up.
Okay, also, you're forgetting the cool thing.
What?
The magical webs that he gave him.
He gets magical teleportation webs.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, as far as Doctor Strange interfering with Peter's tech, that's, like, the most that I was cool with that.
Yeah, because he doesn't really he only has it for that one scene.
Yeah.
He just kind of has to go and, like, bag him and tag him for a bit.
I love when he did the tree by accident.
Is this a tree, a doctor that turned into a tree, or is this just a tree man? We get cool Jamie Foxx, cool and suave.
Yeah, he had a very big personality change since The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
He has more power.
He has more power. He likes it here. You forgot my birthday, Spider-Man.
Yeah, why wasn't he never talked about his birthday?
Yeah, so we get yellow. He gets a yellow electricity, and he has a human body.
They don't explain that other than that it's a different
universe. It's a different universe. Thomas Hayden Church comes back as the voice. He never really is the person as Sandman. He's kind of just a big sand monster the whole time, which is whatever.
Yeah, and he actually comes in to help Peter in this fight, which is, like, pretty cool how he's, like, kind of clutching up rather than just another tacked-on villain.
Definitely, which is what we all thought from the trailers when we saw that scene. We thought, like, oh, it looked like Sandman was protecting him from Electro, which we were right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he traps him and Electro in the prison, and then all that's left is Norman, who he...
It's already with Aunt May.
Norman is with Aunt May. He breaks his goblin mask, and he kind of becomes Norman again and kicks out the goblin personality, but not really.
He's like an old man with dementia.
He's sneaking the cookies in his pocket.
Yeah, did it feel familiar to you, like, the nursing home, Mary?
Yeah, you know, yeah, but, oh my gosh, like, I know they do.
Oh, Aunt May runs Feast, which is a complete tie into the video game.
Yeah.
She did that in the last one, though.
What?
I think it was a different charity in the last one. But anyway, what were you saying about Defoe, Harry?
No, it was Feast. Oh, I was going to say, I know they de-aged him a little bit, but, like, he looked great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's Willem Dafoe, bro. Come on.
He apparently did most of the action scenes again.
He wanted to. That was the only way he'd come back, is if he got to do his own stunts.
He breaks the goblin mask, and he puts on a purple hoodie with, like, a... So we kind of got that purple hoodie goblin look for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
It looks good. Yeah, when he puts it up later. And then it's kind of like just turns into like Peter's. We get the really cool mirror dimension fight scene.
Yep.
Oh, where Peter beats Doctor Strange with math.
Yeah, which people said is dumb, but I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I thought
Peter Parker at his finest.
The line was dumb, where he was like, you know what's cooler than magic? Math. Like, yo, that was so.
Do your math.
Yeah. School kids.
School kids. Yeah, it literally felt like a little after-school ad thing, but... but I thought that scene, like, I liked how in this movie, it's more of... You really see Peter using his brains and his smarts. Like, he defeats Doctor Strange with geometry, which who knew that was Doctor Strange's weakness? But here we are in 2021, or 2022 now.
Yeah,
I still love the theme I saw from it. It says your man's either really good looking or just really good at math. And it shows Spider-Man hanging upside down. You know it's cooler than magic. Math.
Nah. Yeah. Tom Holland is both of those things.
All right.
We might get a couple of other cute Spider-Men later.
Oh, maybe. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Oh, keep listening. Because
Spider-Man isn't in this. What are you talking about?
What are we saying, Harry?
The cutest of all. I was going to say he fights Doc Strange because Doc Strange is like, we got to send them back. They got to die. And Peter's like, they do not got to die. We got to cure them.
He's like, that's pretty mean.
Yeah, so like the next 20, 30 minutes of the movie is all of them at Happy Hogan. Peter and all the villains at Happy Hogan's apartment with Peter and Norman working together trying to cure the villains.
Because he's something of a scientist himself.
Right,
we got the line. We got the funny line.
It was dumb fan service, but I'm not going to complain.
There was nothing dumb about it. It was beautiful.
Honestly, when I was in the theater, it was one of those things where it's like, I could cringe, but I'm going to enjoy it instead. Like,
I'm here for it.
Yeah, let's go. You're doing great, Willem. Go for it. Keep it up.
And then we get, literally, in my opinion, like, when the movie just becomes, like, a completely different movie, the moment where Peter's Spider-Sense kicks in.
Spider-Sense scene. Oh, my gosh.
Wait, we're skipping the beat where he actually cures Doc Ock, and everyone thought he was dead for a hot second.
Yeah, that was definitely... Did you guys think that Doc Ock, like, just straight-up died for a second?
You said to me, I was like, Asher literally thought that was how he died.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god.
Like, I'm like, he's going to get back up. And I'm like, he's not getting up.
He's staying down for a while. Like,
Are these your Legos?
No, no, that was what I thought was going to happen in the movie, though, is Doc Ock was going to die, and then that's when everyone would just start going back, just crazy.
Ballistic.
Like, everyone going like, yo, this guy's going to kill us. We got to kill him first. Like,
but yes, they're able to cure the villains because Happy has a magical Tony Stark can cure anything machine in his apartment.
It's what he used at the end of Far From Home suit. That was also done.
Right. It's just a weird, like...
It's like a MacGuffin.
It's a fabricator.
Yeah, the way it was...
They said it was a fabricator. Yeah,
well, it's more like a 3D printer. It's making, like, the tools they need, but they're developing all the gears and stuff themselves using their strong chemistry and stuff, like, stuff that they have on hand.
Right, right. But like we just said, that he... Peter's spider sense kicks in after they cure Doc Ock because he senses something's wrong, and then he realizes it's Norman, and he webs up Norman's arm, and then Norman just flips, just like that, back to Goblin.
Oh, yeah. And now, here's a little debate that Will and I had that we need to ask you guys, get your opinions on.
He doesn't.
We're a little torn, right?
I'm not torn.
So, do you think Willem Dafoe deserves an Oscar for his performance as Norman Osborn's Green Goblin?
I think if anyone in that movie does, it'd be him.
Yeah.
I know.
That wasn't the question.
Okay. Do you think he deserves an Oscar? Do you think our boy deserves an Oscar for that? Because it was a good performance.
It was a good performance, yes. We know how much the Oscars are afraid of giving comic book movies their day in the sun. If anything, if there was going to be one comic book character in the recent years, I feel like they should have given it to Robert Downey Jr. almost as an achievement award for Endgame, but they didn't even, nominate him, which was kind of dumb to me. So I don't see them... I don't see it happening. Yes, I think he would deserve it, but no, I don't think.
Yeah, we're not talking about DC happening. Just like, should he get one for that?
No, yeah, I think he's fantastic. I think he's.
Yeah, exactly. You see,
no, totally.
Harry knows what I'm talking
about. That was not an Oscar-worthy performance.
How about you, Gillen?
Supporting actor.
Yeah,
give
I
it
think
to
there
him.
Is a lot of Marvel actors who deserve one, and I think he's one of them.
Supporting actor in a role, give it to him. Great.
Here's my issue: if he didn't get it for a movie like The Lighthouse. He sure as heck should not get it for something like this.
No, and I loved him in The Lighthouse. I actually watched that weird-ass movie. I sat and watched the whole thing. Great job.
I need to watch it still. When did you watch it on here?
I rented it from Redbox a year ago.
Oh, okay. Never mind then.
But yeah, great scene. Oh my gosh, that apartment scene, I have rewatched on the internet like 5 times.
Oh, the cinematography was so good. Just like, you could like feel the tension.
Just, you could feel the spider sense.
Yeah. Like,
as he's trying to figure out who's who.
Like he is, like, out of his league right now. And it's great, because this is, like, the first time, and, like, a little with Thanos, but, like, this is the first time where Peter is just outmatched.
It's because this time he's alone. He's not fighting with the Avengers or anything. It's like, just him.
This guy that he is fighting does not care. He just wants to hurt Peter, and I love that. Like, Goblin is just so evil, he does not give a crap.
Because then we get the Peter versus Goblin's fight scene, because everyone else sort of leaves. Doc Ock kind of escapes. The Lizard gets out, Daily Bugle's there,
scene.
And Sandman and Electro do their thing around the Daily Bugle and get their
oars.
Lizard does a little bit. He, like, slams Peter through a window.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Lizard didn't just run away. He ran. He climbed up the building, and, you know, that's when he's like, is that a dinosaur?
Like Heller said, Goblin just, like, picks him up and just, like, slams him through walls.
Yeah, it was like watching superhero WWE going on.
Right.
Bro, when Peter's on top of him just going nuts.
Oh, that's really...
No, you're talking about was before the...
No, yeah.
It was after that.
Yeah.
He does the punch and then he does the floor drop.
Yeah, because he does the punching thing like Will said. And Will, I mean, if you want to talk about it, he's just wailing into him and Norman's just laughing.
Oh, yeah.
It reminded me of Dark Knight's Batman and Joker.
Yeah.
It was even crazier than that because it's like superpowers.
But that's the vibe I got.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I agree with what Asher said. It's almost like more intense because they're also just putting each other through cement.
Yeah, like you can't really do that with Batman and Joker, but with Spider-Man
and
Goblin.
Man said this floor is tangible.
Yeah.
Just
like your body.
After he's done punching him, he just grabs Peter and just slams him through like 10 stories until they land in the lobby. And then we get that.
Peter kicks him down, finally jumps up. Webs the floor and slams him in like he did Kingpin in Spider-Man PS4.
Yeah.
And then we get the real...
Talk about... What was that, Harry?
I was just going to say we get that real emotional scene that's about to happen, but you want to say what you want to say before we get into that.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, you want to talk about, like, a masterclass when it comes to, like, a superhero fight scene? Because we don't really get that much like good fight choreography in the MCU. Maybe some of the Captain America movies have that.
Mm-hmm.
But like you don't feel the power of these superheroes punches. Like with super strength.
I definitely would have been Captain America. I do feel that power in Captain America.
Yeah, you get that with Captain, not the first Avenger, but the other movies you do.
When he kicked that guy. When he kicked that guy.
Yeah. Started. Captain America straight up murdered that guy on the boat.
On the boat? See, what about the one where he pulled one out of the helicopter in First Avenger and threw him into the rotor?
Yeah, but he was a Nazi, so it was okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
I'm like, everyone's like, MCU doesn't get too violent. They do it for the kids. And I always think back to that scene in Captain America 1, where you watch the man get shredded
when
like
I was
blender.
A kid, I thought that was awesome.
I remember just watching him get shredded like a blender, and everyone's like, they don't get that violent, guys. And I'm like,
But we don't normally get good superhero fight choreography outside of, say, like Daredevil or something.
Phase 4 is stepping it up on that, though.
Yeah.
Between this and Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
Well, Shang-Chi was just like a love letter to kung fu movies.
But was it still good fight choreography?
It was good. I hope we get more of it going forward.
Definitely.
I just saw scenes in Black Widow were pretty well done.
And
the final fight with her and Taskmaster, I'd say yes.
All right, we have to talk about the scene now where he goes from Spider-Man.
Yeah, I was about to say, let's move on.
Yeah.
He goes...
We skipped a moment.
What?
Peter now has the advanced suit because, what's his face? He had the regular suit, the black suit, ends up putting the armor back on him, of it.
Gives him back his nanotech, so he gets, like, a mergence of the two suits.
Yeah, but it doesn't really do... It's just, like, a cosmetic change.
Yes, but it's still an important part of the movie.
That was part of Doc Ock's little, like,
character
arc. Being good thing.
Yeah.
So, like I said, he goes from Spider-Boy to Spider-Man because we finally get the talk. Spider-Man gets the talk.
That is definitely... Well,
just remember,
not,
Peter.
Not before...
With great power always comes great responsibility. Boom.
No. That was as Aunt May was, like, dying.
That was after... Well, okay, so... Goblin has Peter dead to rights. Like, he's got, like, Peter's head, like, Peter's bleeding out of his mouth. He's bad. And Aunt May is standing across from them, and she has the cure, and she tries to put it in Norman. Doesn't work because I guess they didn't finish it, or maybe he sabotaged the cure on purpose because he's still evil. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then Goblin does the classic, uses glider to smack someone.
Yeah.
This ain't smacking. This is railing right through someone.
Yeah, the fact that her back was not snapped in two from that is just crazy.
Aunt May was able to stand up after that.
Yeah, well, I'll take her.
So she gets nailed with the glider, and then we get that scene we saw in the trailer where he throws the pumpkin bomb and it explodes. I don't know what that did. I don't know if that's the thing that did Aunt May, and we'll get to it. I think it was the glider that murked her, but it might have been the bomb.
That's what I'm saying. I think the glider is what did it, because as Aunt May's lying on the ground, because Aunt May, at first you think Aunt May's fine, right?
They're like, oh,
Aunt May gets back up, she's okay, she's not in here, but you can see something's a little off, you know? She's saying she's fine, but she's shaking.
Yeah.
She looks out of it.
But still tells Peter... That with great power must always come great responsibility.
The big talk. The big talk.
The final words of every Peter figure ever.
We all should have known at that exact moment when she said those
Same.
Words. Screwed. We should have.
Oh, yeah, she was gone. She was gone.
No one says but that.
We finally got Iron Boy Jr. has finally been promoted. He's grown up. He's become the Spider-Man.
The cinematography is following that scene.
Oh, we're still on. We got to discuss it.
She's dead. There's nothing more.
We should have known. It was a 3-movie origin story, and we were unaware of it until now.
they definitely planned it.
Like, it was the whole time. No, but yes.
I don't know about that.
Like Will said, we'll get to in a moment, Aunt May succumbs to her wounds and dies in Peter's arms as the police show up and Happy shows up.
Yeah, and so Peter kind of runs off.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so happy to get her first.
I swear he told
Happy to go get her first.
I don't know how he would have, though.
I don't think he says anything to Happy.
I think they just, like, look at each other. Like, maybe they make eye contact
across
the room.
Yeah, the only thing Happy says is run, yeah, like Geller said.
That's what it is. It's the other way around, yep.
And then, like Will said, we get an amazingly shot scene that I almost want as my screensaver now.
Same!
Yeah, it was so... Like, it felt like an entirely different movie just in that scene alone.
I was like, what?
We went from Spider-Man No Way Home to Blade Runner 2049, like...
Yeah, just standing in front of that screen is J. Joe Jameson, who we haven't mentioned yet, but J.K. Simmons is, like, in this whole movie. Great.
Oh, yeah, he's just kind of throughout. He's, like, giving a little input and stuff. Just classic J.J.J. lines, like, you know. Spider-Man's a menace. Yeah. Number one threat to the public.
He is very rude in this movie.
Number one threat to the public. What a monster.
Number one threat. That was okay. Funny. He had that scene where he was selling supplements, like, what's his name? Who's the news person that yells all the time that has all those memes?
Tucker Carlson?
Tucker Carlson.
No. Alex Jones?
Yeah.
Joe Rogan?
Yeah. No, it's Alex Jones. We're talking about that.
Is it Alex Rogan?
It's
Alex Jones.
Or is it Joe Rogan?
It's Alex Jones. Joe Rogan's a podcast guy. He's
but he says selling supplements, which is Joe Rogan's thing.
Okay, is it Joe Rogan that sold supplements?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay.
I mean, he's like a UFC guy.
That was the joke they were making because J. Joe Jameson said selling Daily Bugle supplements, but that was what they were making fun of. But anyway, yes, we get the next scene.
I'm going to JJJ rant, but...
Yeah, no, real quick. I just want to point out that nobody points out that he went from not really having anything. It was a weird desk and a green screen.
Yeah.
And you move forward to by now, this moment in the scene, man's got a full-on studio.
Yeah, it's been like a time... It's over the months and stuff. He's grown that much just on Spider-Man.
I feel like nobody focuses on that enough, how fast he grew because of Spider-Man.
And gave him all his... I think it's libel. I think
JJJ in this movie did a better job as like his antagonistic force than in the Raimi movies.
Yeah, you can't lie, you can't say that. That's slander. It is not in print. When spoken, it's slander. In print, it's libel. That's a quote from The Amazing Spider-Man. Or no, that's Spider-Man 2.
Toby
Spider-Man 2. Yeah, he was definitely funny in Spider-Man 2, but in this he felt more like.
Don't
like
worry.
The voice against Spider-Man.
I love when he has to take all those meds.
We'll get to Big Toby.
The T-Man.
Big T. So.
Do you want to take it from here, Harry?
No, it's not time yet.
What?
So first they open the portal with Ned and Iggy. First, now Ned is magic.
Yes,
They're trying to jump to Big T and.
No. They were going to talk about the scene. Just that.
They can go to Big T, they said.
Well, I mean,
you have to three times.
Talk about the scene first, Will.
Yeah.
Oh, the way you could say it was Big T, and I'm like, you are not skipping my man for the worst Spider-Man. No.
I was gonna let Geller talk about or Asher.
Yeah, okay,
that's
right.
I was
go
like,
ahead.
We need to take care of it because we've been talking a little bit.
I was gonna say, I know how passionate Asher and Geller have always been about certain Spider-Man if they want to bring him up.
He used to hate it.
Not until recently, yeah.
His is recent. I started to love him first.
I started to love him before all of you.
Geller's never not liked him.
No, Geller, yeah. Geller likes terrible things usually.
Yeah, says you, Will.
Anyway, so okay. Geller, there, you take it from here.
Geller, set up the scene and who comes out of.
So basically, I'm pretty sure it's Ned House. MJ and Ned are in Ned's house and, you know, they're saying how they want to see Peter and how MJ was going to push the button. And then Ned waves his hands around and says, I wish we could just see him. Some sparks flying. Long story short, he figures out how to open a portal. And it opens the portal to Spider-Man. But it's not Tom Holland who jumps through. It's Andrew Garfield who jumps through.
In his beautiful...
With the sling ring that they stole from Doctor Strange, which is important.
Yes.
Anyway. Colors. Amazing. Amazing Spider-Man, I should say.
Exactly.
I saw those big eyes and I knew immediately they flipped.
I don't know about your theater because you guys said yours wasn't as loud as Geller and I's.
I was the loud one.
That was a loud effing theater.
I saw it online, so I already knew it was going to be Andrew, so.
Yes,
yeah.
Asher, like we hinted at
in
the last
episode.
Oh,
yeah, is that the scene you got spoiled for you?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like looked it up. So
filmed the last episode like a few weeks ago. We were all scared because Asher knew all of this stuff.
Basically, yeah. It was pretty crazy. I held the power. It was nice. It was nice.
Yeah. Andrew steps through the portal.
There's a cute little scene with him and Zendaya and Ned.
Yeah, where they're like, "Prove you're Spider-Man," and they throw bread at him, and then he climbs on the wall to get the spider web.
Because of Ned's Lola.
This is more than enough. It's not enough.
This is enough.
Still phenomenal hair. My God, how do you get some Andrew Garfield hair?
Yeah, seriously.
Looks good. It was good because in Amazing Spider-Man 2, he had kind of like a, it was a little shorter, but they went back to the Amazing Spider-Man 1 hairstyle for this movie.
Yeah.
So after Ned, they realize that their Peter still isn't here. So they gotta call someone else. You know, they gotta keep going. Now, Harry, I know you have been wanting to talk about this probably this whole episode.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So you need to adjust your pants first before you continue.
I might need to change my underwear after I'm done discussing what happens next. But RJ, I'm loving the stash.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, RJ's got a mustache. Anyway, what was I saying? Okay, so they want to stop waving. They try to do it again because they're like, well, let's do it again and get our Peter because we just have this random Peter in our apartment now. They try to do it again. And Ned does the same thing, waves his fingers, but this time we get another Peter that steps out, not dressed like Spider-Man, though, but as a cool youth pastor. I'm talking about the greatest scene in this movie, and you guys are making googly eyes at each other over the camera.
Sorry, dude. I just can't help myself.
The greatest scene already happened when Andrew came through.
Shut up.
Exactly.
T-Money, Tobey Maguire, our man, our savior, steps through the portal. I actually, you can ask Andrew, cried into his arms for a good 2 to 3 minutes when it happened.
It's going to be me when Ghost Rider shows up.
I'm sure. I lost it, and I was like, I wasn't ready for it, and they had a great standoff because Andrew and Toby shot their webs at each other, but Toby got him. It was a great scene. And then they're like, where's your Peter? And they go, he would go somewhere probably when he's in distress. Where would that be? And it's at the school. So
on the roof where him and MJ were earlier in the movie.
To get away from everything. So that's where Tom's Peter has been. So Andrew, well, Zendaya, MJ, and Ned go to see him, and then they say, we brought some friends, and there we have the two Spider-Men on the roof.
All three Spider-Men
in the scene together for the first time.
Which was really cool, because they get to talk about, because, you know, this is Tom's, I guess, Uncle Ben moment, so they all get to bond over that.
Yes, and great scene with Andrew, where he references losing Gwen, what that did to him.
Yeah, because Andrew's probably lost the most out of each of these Spider-Men.
His parents, Ben and Gwen.
Yeah.
And Ghost Dad.
And Ghost Dad. Did you say Ghost Dad?
And for some reason,
because he was haunted by Ghost Dad in The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh, yeah. Gwen's dad. Yeah, that was interesting. Interesting plot point.
I will be honest. When those Spider-Man came through, my reaction with Andrew was screaming yes. Toby came through and I just went, nice. That was it. I'm just like, yeah. He's here too.
But yeah, it was very cool. And then they all need to work together to finish off the Kears so they can defeat all the bad guys, which is an interesting change of pace, since in most of the Spider-Man movies, besides the MCU ones, they always just kill their villains. So it's cool to see these Spider-Men try to save them for a change.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'll agree with you.
I loved them. I was talking to Andrew. My best friend went evil. Ned, what?
Yeah. That was good. As he died in my...
Or Toby said it, sorry.
Sorry,
I wish Andrew chimed in and said, oh yeah, that something similar happened with mine.
Yeah, my best friend turned evil too, and then Ned just is freaked out. There was a deleted scene with
sweating.
The three of Spider-Men were actually just going to have a conversation about how, like, each of their goblins, or I guess not Tom's, because he doesn't have his own goblin yet, but there's a deleted scene, apparently, where, like, Andrew and Toby are like, no, like, Goblin has to die, he's the worst.
Shit.
But they all spend the next, like, 15 minutes, the three Spider-Men, just being nerdy scientists together and making cures for each of their villains, which is a great scene.
Yeah, oh, yeah. There's a lot of cute moments in there, a lot of cool just interactions. That's when they talk about Toby and the organic webs versus everyone's web shooters.
It's also a little subtle scene where Andrew sees MJ and Peter together, and he kind of gets a bit emotional because he doesn't have that anymore.
Yeah. You'd think after so much time he'd, like, get a new girlfriend or something, right? Right.
He was supposed to.
Because like, they imply in this movie that the amount of time since their movies has passed in their universes as well. Since Toby's, like, in his 30s, 40s by now. And Toby's Spider-Man. Not like Toby himself.
Oh, I was going to say,
Like, Toby's Peter Parker is obviously in his, like, mid to late 30s. Andrew's aged up to
40s.
Or that, yeah.
Because you got to think. Because
he's a youth pastor now. He went to a crazy career change.
20 or so. He was a little over 20 by Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, well, Tobey Maguire himself is like mid-40s right now, so I assumed he was like mid-30s, I think he's supposed to be.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. But yes, great scene. They build their cures, and they all suit up, and they go to the new Statue of Liberty they're building. Well, not really new, they're just giving it a shield, I think.
Yeah, they're just putting a shield on it.
Guys?
It's copper, so I think they like are like redoing the Statue of Liberty. Because it wasn't like the normal...
No, it was just adding the shield, it looked like.
Oh, really?
There were no other extra details when it was destroyed, but the shield.
Yeah, anyway.
I just want to point this out. I went to look up Toby's age and learned he has children.
Oh, jeez.
Ruby Sweetheart Maguire. Otis Tobias Maguire.
Otis Tobias.
Who names your kid Tobias, bro?
What about Ruby Sweetheart? Bro gave his daughter the middle name Sweetheart.
At least that's trying to be cute, but freaking Tobias? Otis?
Asher.
What?
It's Tobias Vincent Maguire, Toby.
Oh, wow, that's wild.
He named him after himself.
That's tough.
Sorry, I saw the age and I was curious, and then I saw the names and I'm like, we have to talk about this real quick.
Yeah.
So we get, before the villains show up, we kind of just get the three Spider-Men hanging out, which is a really good scene.
Them talking about the webs was one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's sort of flipping out when Toby shows off the organic webs.
Them talking about the villains that they fought was good, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where he was like...
Look, that's later.
It's them all just hanging out. It's that scene.
Oh, at the Statue of Liberty you're talking about. Yeah.
I said before the villains show up, they're all just hanging out. Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
But
you guys fought aliens? I didn't fight an alien.
I just fought a
Russian guy. No, man, you're amazing. Me? Yes. Amazing.
That scene was nice.
Then I love you guys.
Just being
Thank you. Completely improvised.
Yeah.
Well,
the I love you line was improvised, too.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah. But that doesn't happen until the fight where they decide who's Peter 1, who's Peter 2, and who's Peter 3.
Yeah. I'm Peter 1, okay?
Peter 3. Yes, and so the villains show up and we get so many great poses and web swinging and team working and I was part of the Avengers. That's great. Who's that?
Is that like a band?
Are you in a band?
There was just a lot of good like every single line with them interacting was just great. Let's be real.
But the pose on the Statue of Liberty when they swung into it.
That could be a screensaver worthy pose.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, it was good.
Right. It was everything I think we wanted it to be. Really, like you can't complain.
Yeah, they really did not miss a note when it came to integrating all three of these Spider-Men together. No one overshadowed the other, or like not in a way that tracked away from the movie. It was just really well done.
And they cured each villain one at a time.
Reusing footage from Lizard and Sandman in their respective movies, which is kind of funny, you could kind of tell.
Thomas Hayden Church and Risa Fons were unable to come back to actually film anything.
Yeah.
I just love when they cure Electro. I thought you'd be black. Why do you care? saved your life, and your first thing is, I thought you'd be black?
Yeah, I don't know. He said that because, you know, like, Spider-Man's his hero on his Earth, and I'm sure
he's...
Yeah. And the only thing that makes zero sense, though, is that why Electro was brought into the MCU to begin with.
I was gonna say, we could make that whole argument that the whole thing, because they knew who he was, but he clearly did not know who he was.
Maybe, I think everyone, the whole explanation I've been seeing online is that, you know, he knew that Peter Parker is Spider-Man, but he didn't really get, an ID pic of him. He didn't really get a picture of it.
But did he know Peter was?
Well, I mean, he was, like, right before he died, he was downloading the grid in Amazing Spider-Man 2, so he's getting information, so maybe he put together Peter Parker Spider-Man.
Y'all really reaching pictures on this.
Yeah, I know. That's just what I've seen online.
Yeah, man. He really did not belong in retrospect.
People trying to justify it, okay?
In retrospect, he did not belong.
No, he did not. Not in a bit. Not a bit. I cannot speak right now. I'm going to let you guys continue.
But yes, he cures. Electro kind of has all of them, but then Doc Ock comes back and stops Electro, puts the cure on Electro, takes them all out. Then we have one more villain to show up at the same time. Doctor Strange returns from being mathed.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to press the box. And they're like, don't press the box. Peter's doing it. We can do this. But then Goblin shows up, puts a bomb in the box, blows up the
multiverse. Blows up.
Box blows up. Multiverse is cracked open. Bad news. MJ.
Oh, what did we see again? MJ, Kraven the Hunter, Superior Spider-Man.
Well, it's not there, yeah. They're still fighting.
MJ falls, and we get that great catch.
Ooh, with Andrew.
That was a good moment. That was a good moment for sure. And then, how was there anything else in between that before Spidey and Goblin have their fight?
Not really.
No, I don't think so. I mean, Peter gets taken away by the glider. He blows up the glider by punching it.
Before Goblin comes back, there's that really good scene with Doc Ock and Toby.
Yes, there is. He repeats the line he said in the second one where he says, trying to do better.
Yeah.
And then, yes, we get the great emotional fight between Norman and Peter on the shield of the Statue of Liberty where, you know, he's like...
Peter would have killed him with that
weak,
punch. Too weak to send me home to die.
And then he says, no, I just want to kill you myself. And I'm like, oh, geez.
Yeah, that was scary.
When he went in for that face punch and he dented the shield, I was like, yeah. Ah!
You want to talk about feeling the power of the punches.
We finally got to see Spider-Man not hold his punches back in a fight.
Yeah, he was like straight up ready to do it. And then as he's picking up the glider and goes to... Impale Goblin right there. Who comes to save the day?
T-Money.
T-Money. That's right.
Toby swoops
in. Who gets stabbed?
Yeah, and I screamed.
T-Money.
I thought that was it for Toby. I thought they actually had to kill
him. I was worried for a minute.
I
kind of hoped he just could really put an end to his trilogy.
I thought he pulled a Harrison Ford and said, I'll only come back to these dumb movies if you kill me. But yeah, he stops Tom Holland's Peter from killing Norman by stopping the glider, but then yeah, has his back turned to Norman. Toby gets backstabbed quite literally by Norman.
Again?
Yeah, again. Well, last time he got stabbed was by his son, I think.
Oh yeah.
Then Andrew throws Tom the cure, injects Norman with the cure. All the villains are cured. Happy days.
Like is stabbed a lot.
Yeah, Tobey Maguire, Peter's cool because he's been stabbed a lot, so he's fine. He'll be okay.
Yeah, he gets up to
speed. And like you said, Will, then we get a peek into the multiverse.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, we definitely caught a few of them, but...
Craven, Rhino.
Classic-looking
Rhino. Black Cat.
Scorpion.
There's another Mysterio in there.
Another Mysterio.
Mysterio, Superior Spider-Man.
And, what?
Scorpion.
Oh, yeah, Scorpion was in there.
There was Scorpion, or it could have been a Spider Slayer, because it kind of looked like a machine.
Okay, man.
Oh. Hey,
Scorpion.
I'm sure it was Scorpion, but anyway, Doc Strange is like, I don't know what to do, and Tom's like, make everyone forget everything. So that's what they do. Like, literally, the whole world forgets, like, who Peter Parker
is. Peter Parker, not Spider-Man. They don't forget Spider-Man. It's just Peter Parker. Peter Parker's gone. So he gets GED now.
He says his goodbyes to MJ and Ned, and all the other two Peters and all the villains disappear back to their respective universes. The spell's done. Everyone forgets. No one in this world knows who Peter Parker is as a human being.
Yep, so he just is a ghost now, but he's kind of a random schmo now.
He moves into his own apartment. He has to take, high school equivalency test because he never went to high school, technically.
Yeah, which I'm confused. So is he, like, gone from every single, like, database? Any video with him in it is, like, deleted? I'm curious.
I'm sure the videos are still...
Look at it and just be like,
right, the videos are still there if there's, like, a video recording of him, but it would just be like, I have no idea who that is.
Yeah.
The movie ends with a very similar scene that I'm sure we'll enjoy to a Spider-Man PS4.
Well, we gotta go back to him ready to ask out MJ again.
That's true.
And back it down. That was very Spider-Man.
He
sees the scar on her.
And then we need to talk about the scene that kind of angered us. The fact that he goes to Aunt May's grave and Uncle Ben's tombstone is nowhere to be found.
One of my few complaints with the movie is the fact that they still refuse to show Uncle Ben or any reference to him. He was at a graveyard His aunt should have been buried next to Uncle Ben. Come on.
I'll agree with you. I was definitely expecting the grave to be right next to
him. The fact that they confirmed he exists with What If, and they're just refusing to acknowledge any part of him. Because in What If, they said he was part of, like, he was important to Peter.
No, yeah, yeah.
Maybe Uncle Ben existing in that universe was the Nexus then.
I was going to say, no, definitely part of me thinks this universe's Uncle Ben might have just walked out.
Maybe. I don't know.
But yeah.
No, because she wouldn't have kept his briefcase like that.
That was
Uncle Ben's briefcase, BFP.
Yeah. I don't even know, man. It's just weird.
My question is, do you think we'll get him in the freshman year show?
Maybe.
Hope so.
What's the point of this if nobody remembers Peter anyway?
That's true. What's the point of it? Because it's not, like... Yeah, I didn't think about that.
What's the point of what?
The freshman year show! He's going to show us what's going to be, knowing nobody even knows who he's going to be in the next 3 years.
Well, that's just like a little precursor.
Well, no. Will's saying, like, that's an alternate universe's freshman year for Peter. That's not actually how this MCU's freshman year went for Peter now.
I'm not saying it's an alternate universe. It's a rewrite history. This was his freshman year prior to this.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But it just doesn't matter.
Right, because it didn't happen anymore.
Black Widow didn't matter, but they still made that movie.
It happened. These things still happened. Nobody remembers it, though. It didn't erase the events. It erases people's memory of the event.
Are you sure?
I mean,
yes, he said, I don't want people to remember Peter Parker and know who he is. That didn't take Peter Parker out of history, just their memories.
Yeah.
If it took Peter Parker out of history, Aunt May would still be kicking it.
But everything still happened. It'd be like...
How did everything still happen if they don't know it?
Them, it's just some random dude.
They just don't remember.
I still don't think the events would have happened the same if they don't, know who he is.
Well, okay, just if they don't know doesn't mean the events didn't happen.
Yeah, it doesn't erase their memory of him back then. It's just now. There's, all those memories and all those events still there. They still happen, but then now perspective. Imagine if, you guys forgot me. You'd still, everything that I had interacted with you back in, high school, it still would have been, a thing, right? It still would have happened, but you just... When you try to remember it, it's just, a little blank slot.
He basically gave everyone mass amnesia about himself. He did not erase history.
So if
it's weird to think about.
But if the thing still happened, that means he got his high school degree then.
Well, no, because now nobody knows who Peter Parker is, so then they don't even know whose degree that is.
Yeah, but, the event still happened, you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm confused too. I don't really know how far it goes. It's weird.
Once again, MCU plot holes.
Anyway, the movie ends with him getting his own crappy apartment, living on his own, and sewing
beautiful suit,
sewing his own classic blue and red color.
It's new and shiny.
Shiny.
It's so shiny.
Blind Matt Murdock.
Yeah. Oh, he goes, no, that was a beautiful final swing. Do you think it's the best final swing we've gotten, or do the Tobey movies still hold that?
For what it meant to Peter, yes, but, shot-wise, no. But, the emotion behind of what it means, yes.
Yeah.
I'd say shot-wise, yeah.
Most
of the Peter ones were in first person, and I never liked that. You didn't see him do the final thing until he landed on the top of the tall building, really.
Well, none of the Tobey ones were in first person.
That was Andrew's.
I can remember.
We just rewatched them. The end ones were first person.
Them in the first movie.
You didn't watch the Andrew films.
They don't do the first person thing until The Amazing Spider-Man 1. I literally watched those movies 2 days ago.
They do it in The Amazing Spider-Man movie.
Oh, I guess the swings were just that forgettable.
Maybe.
No, Sam Raimi knew how to shoot Spider-Man.
They were good swings.
They could not.
Yeah.
Okay, let's give our out of 10, just a real brief, what are we going to give it out of 10?
9.
8.
9.
I'm going to give it a 9, yeah.
I guess a 9. 8.59.
The fact that I only have, 3 different issues with it out of the whole movie.
It is tied for my second favorite Spider-Man movie with Into the Spider-Verse. It is tied with that because it's kind of the live action Into the Spider-Verse for me.
Why is Spider-Verse your second favorite?
Well, we're having this debate. No one likes Spider-Ham as much as you do.
I'm talking the whole animation and story and the filmmaking tech. Like, the technical aspect surpasses any of these other Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's good.
The same argument with you about Spider-Man 2, so we're not having this argument, because I could defend it just the same.
Yeah. Anyway, what's your favorite,
At least one of those movies was good, and it's not Spider-Man 2.
We're not doing this, Will.
Geller, what's your favorite?
Favorite Spider-Man movie?
Yeah.
One. And then, I want to say one of the Amazing Spider-Mans, but the plot, there's too many issues. Like, I love them, but I recognize all the issues they have.
Good Spider-Man, terrible movies. Terrible movies.
I just like Andrew's character. But,
yeah, exactly. Andrew's Spider-Man was the highlight of it.
I'd call No Way Home probably my favorite.
Into the Spider-Verse is my favorite. And I'm ready for Across.
Across?
Across the Spider-Verse Part 1.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that's what we were calling it. So we all enjoyed it. That is great. The world enjoyed it. Making a lot of money. But do we want to do quick recommendations? Because this episode's been going on a while.
Yep.
Quick ones.
I'll recommend a Spider-Man story, I guess. I'll recommend not the Clone Saga, because that's terrible. But I will recommend Spider-Geddon. It's a recent multiversal Spider-Man story that I read online that's pretty good.
Nice. I'll recommend Ninja Turtles. I'm reading, like, the comics, the old ones, like the original OG when they all have, like, only red masks.
Mm-hmm.
That one. I'm reading it. It's okay. I like it.
It's okay.
I recommend it.
I'm going to recommend every Ghost Rider comic and movie.
This is going to be
like, Geller has been into Ghost Rider, you guys.
We get to running joke, get used to it.
For me, I'm going to recommend Power Rangers Shattered Grid, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends as a show. And for a movie, I think I'd have to go with, what did we watch this? Masterminds.
Is that good? Are we gonna talk about?
Actually, a change of mind is Stiltman's first appearance in Daredevil #8.
Eat your heart out, Asher.
That's your hey.
Next week we talk about Hawkeye.
Yep.
Yeah. Hawkeye, our year-end review.
And our year-end review. Thank you for being patient with us over this holiday. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We appreciate you guys sticking with us who have for over a year now.
Yeah, our numerous fans.
Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed
the episode.
Appreciate all of you.
Until next week, stay geeky.
Stay geeky.
Stay geeky.
Stay geeky.